not ashamed of the gospel. Habesora, the good news. I'm not ashamed of that good news because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentile. There it is, folks. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Good news that God is reconciling both Jews and Gentiles to himself through none other than Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus, the promised Messiah. When you hear Romans 1:16, you know you've tuned into Jesus Made Me Kosher. This show is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. Rabbi Lauren Jacobs is the senior rabbi. I'm Rabbi Glenn Harris. I'm his associate. And we come to you every weekday at the same time. Delighted to do so. We're coming to you live today from the space. Gracious and congenial studios of Faith Talk 1500, and glad to be with you. And we've got some great events coming up we'll be talking about with you later on. But right now, I want to introduce the Faith Talk listening audience to a dear friend of mine and somebody who's a member of Congregation Shema Yisrael, whose story I think you're really going to enjoy, Jerry Weinstein. Jerry, thanks for being with us on Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you for having me, Rabbi.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And my pleasure, your pressure. How's that? Well, Jerry... You are, in a real sense, a child of Congregation Shema Yisrael. You grew up mm-hmm. in our midst. You had your bar mitzvah at Shema.
Yes, I
still remember that. I got a lot of nachas. It just brought a lot of joy and pride to all of us to see that. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing. You're young. How old are you now?
I'm 23 years old.
23. Oh, he's just a puppy. But but he's growing up quickly. But tell us a little bit about your background and your own family. Most of us who are Jews that believe in Jesus as the Messiah are first-generation believers because we've got this long-standing tradition in the Jewish community. Well, you know, Jews don't believe in Jesus, and that's what we always heard, so that's what we always repeat. So for a lot of us, we're first-generation, but not so for you.
Well, it's an interesting story, Rabbi. Both my parents are Jewish. My mother is a believer. She believes that Jesus is the true Messiah. And so I was raised in a household where with a believing mother and a non-believing father. My father isn't much of a practicing Jew right now and wasn't back then either. So I was raised with a knowledge of Jesus as Messiah from a very young age. It was kind of like the grass is green, the sky is blue, and Jesus is Messiah. It wasn't a big deal to me. I also, though, growing up, went to Hebrew school at a local Reformed temple. And so at the same time I was going to Shema with my mother, I was also attending on Sundays Hebrew school at a local Reformed temple. So I kind of had my foot in both sides of the fence, so to speak. So as you mentioned, I was raised at Congregation Shema Yisrael. Growing up, though, I didn't really encounter much hostility for being a believer. Most of my friends were Gentiles, and so when they asked me, what kind of Jewish person are you? When I say I'm a Messianic Jew, I would say at a young age, they say, well, what does that mean? So I would say, I'm like half Christian, half Jewish. You have to understand, I was like 6 years old or seven, eight. And they'd say, well, do you get to celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas? I said, of course. And I get twice as much presents. We'd laugh, and that'd be the end of it. But so as I got older, I eventually became a bar mitzvah. I had a bar mitzvah at a Reformed temple. I also had a bar mitzvah at Congregation Shema Yisrael. My dad's side are all Reformed Jews, and they were nice enough to actually come to my Shema bar mitzvah, which was very interesting because my Haftorah portion, which was a portion that you read during a bar mitzvah from books outside of the first five books of the Bible, was Isaiah 53. And if anybody who has read Isaiah 53 knows, that is a very powerful chapter speaking to the truth of who the Messiah is.
Wow, what kind of effect did that have? I mean, here's the, some of your family who believe, but some of your family don't, but they're all there hearing that.
Well, my uncle, who's kind of like the patriarch of my dad's side, he had a nice long talk with Rabbi Lauren afterwards. None of them became believers, but I think they had a deeper appreciation for, what I believe. And I definitely think it got a couple wheels turning in their minds. Unfortunately, our people are very good at kind of putting our heads in the sand, so to speak, when it comes to scriptures, especially the powerful passages we find in the prophets and the Torah speaking of the Messiah. Willful ignorance, I suppose.
Well, there's a certain amount of peer pressure from within the community to toe that line. But also what a lot of our listeners may not understand, you and I understand this because we've been dealing with this for all these years, but even though in the synagogue every Shabbat, synagogues all around the world, you have a portion from the Torah, the five books of Moses, that's portion of it is read in Hebrew and then sometimes in English, and then it's elaborated on in a more of a brief homily rather than a long sermon. But there's also what's called the Haftarah, a reading from the prophets or perhaps even from the Book of Kings, another part of the scripture. And there is a whole section of Isaiah that is read, and it goes sequentially. You know, Isaiah 49, 50, 51, 52, 54. Chapter 53 is skipped in that order of Haftarah readings. And somebody might argue, well, there's lots of things that aren't in there, but this is the only place where deliberately a single chapter is skipped. You and I think, know why that is, because it sounds a little bit like you know who.
Yes, it sounds like Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So I was bar mitzvahed at Congregation Shema Yisrael. And then from there, you know, I entered high school. And at this point, like I said, you know, Jesus being the Messiah was something very intrinsic to me, something that I never really thought much about. Going to high school, however, I end up having more contact with the Jewish community. I still remember being in speech class in ninth grade. My last name is Weinstein, and if you see me, you know, I look like a Jew. And so people in my class could see, you know, my last name Weinstein, look at me, like, are you Jewish? And I said, yeah. And so they say, oh, you know, what are you, Reform, Conservative? I say, Messianic. They say, Messianic? You can't be Messianic. I say, why can't I be Messianic? They said, you can't. So you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? I said, yeah. So you're one of those Jews for Jesus. I said, no. I said, Jews for Jesus is an organization that goes around preaching. I said, I'm a Messianic Jew. Jews for Jesus isn't a religion. And then, oh, it was like I just opened up the floodgate. And so I'm going back and forth discussing these things. And while I had faith in God and faith in Jesus Messiah, I didn't have what am I looking for? I didn't have the knowledge to properly articulate what I believed. So I got spanked that day, basically, in this discussion. And I went home, and I tend to be a rather stubborn person, so I wasn't really upset as in, you know, oh, boo-hoo. I got a little angry, and I got stubborn. I said, no, I'm going to start taking the Word of God a little more seriously. I'm going to have a reason for what I believe. So I started, you know, actually paying more attention to the sermons at Congregation Shema Yisrael, remembering things. And so over the years of high school, I got very good at defending my belief system and defending being a Jewish believer. And there was a lot of hostility in that time. Jews for Jesus had a huge campaign in 2006 called the Behold Your God campaign that stirred up the Jewish community like nothing else, which was their point, you know, to make them start considering these things. But there was backlash, even in the high schools. I was a junior, or senior when that happened. I'm going to say senior. And, Jews for Jesus got thrown around as a cult and just all these sort of things. But at the end of my high school career, you know, when I was senior year, I was very good at defending what I believed, and as I delved deeper in God's Word to understand these things to defend myself, I found my faith being increased. You know, that's a great thing about God's Word to me is, you know, you can read a passage right, you know, three times maybe, and then come back to it a year later, and you can always get something new from it. But when you seriously study God's Word, and, you know, the context and just what it is, you know, even beyond the commentaries and your theological dictionaries, all these things, it speaks to you. It really does. And rightly understood, all the passages of God's Word will deepen your faith. Some are easier to understand than others. Some you might struggle with, maybe toss and turn with. But you get, there's this great unity and there's this great, what's the word I want to look for here?
Well, there's a consistency between the covenants. Well, let me ask you this while we're on this. Is there a passage that you have just kind of always kind of taken to heart, and this particular passage of the scriptures has really spoken to you and meant a lot to you?
Yeah, there is. There's many passages. If I could say one passage, I would just say the entire book of Hebrews, which is...
Yay. good stuff.
It's good stuff, especially if you're someone who is Jewish and understands the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews written to the Jews, for the Jews, by the Jews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we do know that he was Jewish. And so it builds this great case for Yeshua being not only the Messiah, but being greater, you know, the new covenant compared to the old and all these great things. But there is a passage... that I really do take to heart. It's in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near.
Ahava v'tzedaka, love and good deeds. That's great. Hebrews 10, a great passage. And now, of course, that passage mentions about being sprinkled clean and being washed.
Mm-hmm.
So in light of the name of this show, and for those of you who just tuned in, where have you been? It's Jesus Made Me Kosher. How would you say Jesus has made you kosher?
Well, listeners of this show are familiar with the term kosher, meaning generally referring to food, but more than that, even than that, this idea of things that have been set apart, being sanctified. You know, kosher food is different than the food that is not kosher. So, but when we use kosher in the New Covenant, though, we're not talking about food. We're talking about people. And one, I think, of the great things about Scripture and Yeshua as the Messiah is Old Covenant Judaism and Rabbinical Judaism, Judaism as it's practiced today, is a lot about tradition, which is good, and about laws, which is good, too. But it's all about this outward manifestation, right, of maybe being clean, of tzedakah, these things you do outside. But a lot of what practiced today in Judaism doesn't speak to what's going on inside you. So how does Jesus make me kosher? Jesus makes me kosher because of how he transforms me from within. And so what do I mean by that? Well, if you are a believer, you know what I'm talking about. But for those of you who may not be believers, what I'm talking about is the idea that Jesus makes you kosher from the inside out. He transforms your heart and your mind, which is very scriptural. You know, this is what God wants from us. If you want some passages, I can think of Isaiah 1 pops into my mind right ahead, talking about the idea of having a clean heart, a non-guilty conscience, and offering proper sacrifices that way.
I was thinking Deuteronomy, the circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children so that you will serve the Lord your God. So there does need to be an inner transformation.
And there's also, I throw this one out there too, because you popped in my mind, is this is spoken of as a new covenant, of course, in Jeremiah 31. The idea of him, of the Lord in those days, putting his law on our hearts, and that one will say to another, no one will have to tell each other about the Lord because everybody will know, yeah. Is what it says in Jeremiah 31, which is a really powerful statement. But that's how Jesus makes me kosher, transform me from within.
Let's talk about some of the that high school opposition that you faced, and just suddenly going from being somebody who believed to somebody who now has to be able to articulate why they believe what they believe. It helped, right? The opposition
Absolutely.
Actually was something that God used in your life in a real positive way.
Absolutely. And Scripture speaks of this, that that the opposition that we face will strengthen us, iron sharpening iron, the idea that of the refinement that comes through opposition. If you have, you know, and the Rabbi Lauren likes to say, if you're not facing any opposition, then maybe you're not preaching the gospel the way you should be, which is a very fair statement to make. We tend to want to, you know, avoid opposition, avoid troubles, avoid you know, persecution, but in a way we are called to seek it out just because of the boldness that we are supposed to proclaim the gospel with. Hence why Jews for Jesus tends to get the flack that they seem to get. But you were saying, let me go back. So you were saying, how did this help me? It helped me because I developed a thick skin when it comes to talking about God's word. But I also realized over time that it wasn't about the cleverness of my answers. You know, at first when I was studying, you know, I'm trying to get all these proofs together. And you go online, right, you could find every messianic prophecy in the Old Testament and how it's fulfilled in the New. You know, books upon books, encyclopedias. Michael Brown's written a great series, which I poked around with back then, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. So you have all this knowledge, but you realize that you can have every answer to every question somebody asks you, but it's not going to convince them of that you're correct or convince them that, you know, Jesus is Messiah if it's not speaking to what's really going on in their hearts and in their lives. You know, people throw, you know, atheists or whatever will throw these objections at you, these questions that are really kind of smoke screens to what's really going on inside them. The people who are not believers, there's a certain issue, something in their lives, maybe a couple, that they are holding against God, maybe, or just something they're wrestling with, and they don't want to talk about that. They'll give you something else. And our Jewish people, it's the same way, because Jews are the same as everybody else. You know, we're all human beings, so we all wrestle with these things. So I realized it came to the understanding that it isn't on me, it's on God. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter how clever I am. I could say the silliest, dumbest thing, but if God's using me to speak in their lives, that could be what gets through to them. And consequently, I could be the most learned scholar in the world, but I ain't going to convince anybody if God isn't working on their lives. And that's scripture too. And so when I studied that, I realized that, and I got a sense of peace from that, because it wasn't all on me. It isn't my job to... You know, it's not my job, right, to convince somebody to be saved. It's my job to proclaim the word of God and to talk about these things. But it's between them and the Lord.
Well, there's a word that we use, a legal term, to talk about that very same thing. It's jurisdiction. Ours is not to convince anyone. We're not capable of that. And if I could, by persuasive argument, convince somebody else a little bit more persuasive will unconvince them. So that whole idea of persuasion is in the purview of the Holy Spirit. God himself is the one who changes people's minds and hearts. Coming to that realization of where our jurisdiction ends and where God's takes over is a very comforting thing.
We went through high school. So after high school, I went to college. I'm still in college. I went to Baker College, got an associate's in accounting, and I have a bachelor's in accounting too. And during this time, I lived up further north, so I had to leave Shema for a while. But when I came back, I became a full member, and I have the privilege now of delving into God's Word, especially the Torah, in the weekly Torah portions at our congregation. I'm sure maybe Rabbi Glenn's mentioned this on the show before, but our congregation, we... examine the weekly Torah portion, which is done all around the world in synagogues. We do a short commentary on that before our main sermon, but we point out, which it's very easy to, because every portion of the Torah speaks in some way to Yeshua the Messiah or the idea of the Messiah, and we comment on that. So I have the privilege of writing that, presenting that with the help of my rabbis. I gotta give thanks where it's due to Rabbi Lauren and Rabbi Glenn, who edit what I write.
Don't worry, we're going to send you a bill for that.
But, you know, so I have the privilege of that. I'm going to be, you know, this week I have one coming up. And even, you know, so I said in high school, you know, I delved in God's Word kind of, you know, in a broad way. But I've really dug myself into the Torah these last couple of years doing these parashas. And it's amazing to me just how much everything in the Torah speaks to the need for an intermediator, the need for the Mashiach, the Messiah, and the connections between the Old and the New Testament, especially the book of Hebrews. Every parashah, there's always some cross-reference to the book of Hebrews. And that in turn, you know, really made me dig into the book of Hebrews. And so I encourage anybody who, if you have, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're Jewish or not, to really spend some time in the book of Hebrews and understand it, because it's really important to understand the Old Covenant as it relates to the New, and to understand, of course, the Jewish roots of the faith. This is why we're on the show here. And so currently also besides that, I go to Moody Theological Seminary. Dr. Eugene Mayhew spoke at our congregation one day and encouraged me to join. He didn't have to encourage too much. And I've really enjoyed that there too as well.
Well, we are proud that you're studying at Moody Theological Seminary of Michigan. I'm an alumnus. I graduated in 07. And I want our audience to know that Jerry's doing very, very well there. I do every so often when I'm over there, I talk to some of the profs, and those who have had you have said that he does a very good job. So you're doing well, and of course I warned Jerry that he had to do well because he's representing Schma at the seminary.
No pressure, though, of course.
No pressure, just straight A's, no big deal. But in any case, it's good for us to be represented at the seminary in the sense that we want the larger body of Messiah to be aware of the Jewish roots of our faith. And that, yes, indeed, there are Jewish people in the 21st century who believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. So you're studying at the seminary, working on that. And what do you see yourself perhaps 5 years from now, 10 years from now doing?
That's a hard question. I'm not quite sure yet. I know I'm going to go wherever the Lord leads me. The Lord seems to be leading me to do more and more at the congregation. So we'll see where that leads. You know, I do some things with a ministry, Shalom Ministry, which you guys are very familiar with, Pastor John Denson. And so right now I feel like the Lord's trying to mold me and develop me for some purpose with all the skills that I have. And so I'm just, you know, kind of waiting and seeing, but at the same time trying to be faithful to all the Lord has given me right now, which is plenty.
That's great. Well, one of the things that's coming up is you are being given, as you said, more and more opportunities to engage publicly, tell the good news and everything. You're going to be giving your story, your life story, your testimony in Warren later this month. Where's that going to be?
It's going to be at the Fellowship Bible Church in Warren at 10:30 on Sunday, March 25th. And we'll have some details posted fairly shortly on the Shalom Ministry website, shalomministry.com, if you're interested in that.
That's great. I've got to brag on you, Jerry. You've been a blessing to the congregation. We're very proud of how God
is. Go on. No.
obviously working. I mean, as if all this, you know, he knows accounting. He's a computer tech guy. He's our go-to guy on everything computer. He gives a mean parasha. He's the complete package. But still, God is at work. And I also, folks, as long as we're doing this, want to let you know we've got a very, very special event coming up tomorrow evening, and Jerry made mention of Shalom Ministry. This is a wonderful ministry, a worthy ministry. African Americans reaching out to the Jewish people with the good news in a way that, Jerry, you and I can't do because, you know, we're basically shown the door.
And real quickly, reason why I'm very strongly supportive of this ministry is we mentioned that I'm a second generation. My mother was saved in a all-black church in Detroit back in the 80s. So for those who say, well, why do these things, you know, why do we need to get the black church? My mother, you know, the Lord was working on my mother, and that's where he led her, where she became saved. And my aunt was saved in a all-black congregation in Chicago, which in turn led my uncle to being saved years later.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, my grandfather was ministered to by a lady who worked as a maid for our family and later worked for my grandfather and shared the gospel with him. Well, folks, we just have about a minute left, but let me let you know that tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to open the doors. The event begins at 7 o'clock. It is the Shalom Ministry Banquet. We're going to have a lovely dinner together. We're going to have a really great keynote speaker. Some of you have been listening this week. David Brickner, the Executive Director of Jews for Jesus, will be our keynote speaker. It's going to be at the San Marino Club in Troy. It's right on Big Beaver. If you'd like to make a reservation, you can save yourself $5. It's $30 at the door, but it'll be $25 if you register today. And here's the number you can call to register for the Shalom Ministry Banquet. It's 248-312 248-3122-8277. Again, 248-312-8277. So we really do hope to see you at the San Marino Club for the Shalom Ministry Banquet tomorrow evening. Well, folks, we're all out of time. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Jerry, I want to thank you for being with
us. Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. And so on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, thanks so much for listening. We want to wish you Shalom, Shalom.
If Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.